Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that aims to mine a few nuggets that can support us in transforming our well-being as we choose to live in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. I know, it can seem quite counterintuitive, like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me. We're taking a lighter look at life today with my guest, who calls herself a playfulness instigator. She's Marijke McCandless, and play is very much a part of her life, as well as her work as a mindfulness coach and award-winning writer. She's dedicated to living life imperfectly, but with great delight. Marijke has written a number of books, but her latest has the fun title Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present. In it, she explores what it means to get vulnerable, to strip off the layers of conditioning and embrace life afresh with a light-hearted, playful attitude. She likens it to going on an inner striptease, so don't worry, there's no need to take your clothes off. I'm always curious about what people do to get present and what they even mean by that. So when I got together with Marijke, I asked her exactly what she means by it.
You know, I think the reason that it's kind of a tricky concept is that I believe, or maybe just me, so when I first heard about it, I thought it was a state that I was going to arrive at and sort of like never leave, you know, like I was just going to be here and I was going to be fully quote unquote present. But what I've come to understand is that it's more like a dipping into a moment of delight. And the way that you can tell you've arrived is you're not caught up in any mental baggage. Thoughts might be happening, but you're not fully participating in it, and you've lowered your armor. So I think the best way to know, just to notice it, just to experience it for yourself, is to think really, really small. Like, let's say you walk outside and there's a full moon that has just arisen, or a crescent moon, and you just are like, you just have that moment of, it's like pure potential. You don't have any agenda running. You're just completely consumed in a state of awe. That's being present. You're not trying to be somewhere else or resisting what is, but it can be hard to notice it at first because it might be fleeting. So you start paying attention to the fleeting moments so that you can tune in to what it feels like to be present. And then by and by, you realize, oh, it's also what's happening when I'm here with JJ on this show. If I'm not like trying to think about what I'm going to say or, you know, planning the next thing, if I'm just here letting the words come through, it's an experience of just being present. Typically, there's a kind of a background stillness or a little bit of, I always think there's a little bit of heaviness isn't quite the right word, but it's like a thickening in the air almost. You don't feel so flighty, you know, but not heavy mentally, just grounded. Like sometimes it happens if you just suddenly noticed your feet are touching the ground. The other way to think of what is presence is anytime you fully experience a sense, you know, like a smell, maybe. Senses only exist in the present moment. So when you are there with that, the breeze on your face, that's being present. Tiny little moments of delight afford us this experience of being present. And then we begin to be more willing to enter into the next moment without having our shielding and our armor and our mental, you know, baggage that we carry with us to make sure that we don't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or whatever. It's a letting go of our armoring.
You know, I think that's one of the best explanations of being present that I've ever heard. Seriously,
Oh.
I think
Oh.
that's a really good way of putting it,
Thank
because
you.
I think, people tend to be very kind of, oh, it's just paying attention to what is right now going on. But it's just such a beautiful explanation that you've given right there. Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. So, and it's not with us necessarily all the time.
Course not. We're caught up in what we're doing in our life and whatever.
Yeah, because I think people, I suspect people might think that, you're supposed to go around being present all the time. It's like a 24/7 thing. Every single minute of the day, you've got to be present. Life isn't like that, is it?
No, but it's just such a delight to just periodically during your day come back to it
Yeah.
because, it's just like it doesn't take a whole lot of times of being momentarily lit up for it to affect your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then naked in the now. What do we mean by that? Do we mean literally taking all our clothes off and being naked, or what? I mean, I know that you're talking. I mean, the title of the book is "Juicy Practices for Getting Present." And by the way, congratulations on the book winning a prize.
Oh,
That's
thank you.
fantastic. Yeah. So you do mention in the book something about experiencing life like you would want to experience a lover or something like that. What's that quote again? Or what is it? How is it that you put that again?
I mean, in the simple way, being naked in the now is not different from that kind of description I just gave of getting present.
Right. Yeah.
It's really one and the same. But I felt like people kind of have this seriousness that they add on, this layer of kind of shouldness and seriousness that they add on to this desire to be present. And I wanted to lighten it up a little bit. I wanted to, what if it wasn't work? What if it was more like being seduced by a lover? What
That's
if
it.
it,
That was it. Yeah. That
it's
was the
like,
line.
yeah, because I use a lot of those sort of mild, playful innuendo because I think it opens people up to experiencing something in a different way. So being naked in the now definitely has that flavor of vulnerability in it. But like if we just sit here and talk about let's get naked, right? Like take off all our clothes or something. I mean, stark raving fear is going to rush through my body.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's like we often equate being naked with being too vulnerable, being exposed, being whatever. Maybe we fear being mocked or not being perfect or something. But what I want to point to is this other side of nakedness that is a little bit juicy. Let's say, whether we're with ourselves or with maybe a partner or something, there's a moment when we feel comfortable enough to get actually naked. And that moment, we are no longer so worried about if we look perfect. We're not worried about if, saliva, it's messy. I mean, let's face it, making love is kind of messy. Our hair gets all messed up, there's saliva all over, whatever. We aren't all pulled together typically, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And being present is a little bit like that. Being naked in the now as a metaphor for being present is a little bit like that. It turns out I can show up on your show with a cold. It's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody has a cold sometimes,
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
just, it's a lessening of the expectations that we have for ourselves, falling into the playful side of it instead of the I'm not perfect enough to whatever, side of it.
Yeah. And playfulness is a big theme in the book. Well, a big theme in your work, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. And I have to say, I came to it through seriousness, in a way. I mean, I can remember being really serious about fixing my life and fixing my relationships and fixing everything and earnest, very earnest. And I can remember my husband would say, you're just kind of always so serious about it.
Oh.
And he's kind of a serious guy in a way. He's not like a humor puppy kind of
Right,
person.
right.
But it gave me pause, and it made me ultimately, not like overnight or anything, but ultimately it enlivened within me this possibility that, oh, what if I approached all of this stuff with a lighthearted attitude, with I don't know, a cheeky little attitude, kind of. It just makes it more fun to explore. It makes it more fun to be curious. We let go of the performance aspect of our life.
And, a lot of people will be wary of doing that because they will be judged to be not serious when they should be serious. I know that I've suffered from that in my life because there have been times in my previous career, let's just say, when I might not have shown myself to be as serious as I actually was, but I couldn't help myself being a bit more playful, in
Yeah,
my
exactly.
interactions and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But people do judge that. So, for a lot of people, it's very difficult to get their heads around the fact that it's good for us to actually let that playfulness out, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, of course, there's a time and a place for taking things seriously. Maybe, for a long time I worked in the corporate arena. I was like vice president of a technology company, vice president of communications of a technology company, and it kind of had umbrella of sort of we got to do this right. So I definitely understand that. Or maybe you're a doctor and you hold people's lives in your hands all the time. It's not that we don't give things 100% of our attention. I think we just need to redefine, we need to suss out what the important part of being serious is, and then allow our attitude to be just slightly more lighthearted. We do want to give some things 100% of our focus. It's important. It's key, really.
Yeah, and
But
for me, it's not the playfulness really isn't about not giving 100% of your focus. It's
exactly.
how you deal with it. Does that make sense? It's not
Totally.
that
Totally.
we're not paying attention. It's not that we're not doing exactly what we need to be doing. It's
Exactly.
just that we're not stressing about it and getting too uptight about it.
Yeah. I remember when I first got that job, it slayed me because I didn't have the credentials really to hold to. I mean, I started as a purchaser in the company, and I started as a purchaser only because I had this it was this was a startup technology company, only because I had this background as a mediator, and they thought, "Oh, maybe she'll be good at negotiating or something." But in a way, I was so innocent going into that job that I mean, literally the first day I had to Google what a P, my boss said, could you make a PO for whatever this pro, this thing they wanted to buy? I did not know what a PO was. And I had PO stands for purchase order. I literally had to Google what is a PO, but
Thank heavens for
it
Google.
right. But it also gave me, because I wasn't entrenched in the way that you were supposed to do this job, and I kind of had to bring this slightly less serious, almost a, I it was almost I just had to bring that to the table because I didn't have the super background. But what it did, that's why but then I ended up rising all the way through this corporation, because they appreciated that I thought outside the box, that I brought a different energy into the work environment, that and that ended up taking me all the way up. People would say from the outside, you can't do it that way, but you can. And then I remember the moment inside myself that I began taking my job more seriously, and it changed everything for me. It made it so much less fun. It was just, I began hating my job. I actually eventually quit that job.
And then you get stressed.
And because I got stressed.
Yeah, and don't they say that the ideal is to never have to do a day's work in your life? So the idea is to just do what you love, which isn't work, rather than working in order to live. Makes sense. But we'll hear more from Marijke shortly. First, it's time to take a break and listen to some messages from our wonderful sponsors. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, coach, writer, and all-round advocate of fun, Marijke McCandless, author of Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present. Now, before the break, we heard about Marijke's time in the corporate world where she was getting stressed by having to show her serious face all the time. And I was curious to know how she transitioned out of the traditional corporate environment. Here's Marijke again.
Well, that's interesting because there's probably two cycles that I made, starting out not being playful, coming around to playfulness, doing this whole really serious job playfully, and then getting higher and higher, higher up the pole and sort of taking on more and more and more levels of responsibility, I guess. What I had to do, honestly, was that was right around the time when my husband and I decided that what we needed to do was to go and not necessarily go on the typical vacation where, you know, you're doing an adventure or you're sightseeing or whatever, you're doing one of those kinds of things. We went on like a 5-day silent retreat. I needed to rest back down out of this heady game. And I didn't have to do it. I had to, you know, for a few days, I had to kind of unplug and remember that there's a different way of being. When you're out in the corporate world, it's very tricky to not get sucked into that worldview where it's all about striving. It's all about making the agendas. It's all about taking everything seriously and responsible. And I had to back that out and remember that there was this other worldview that I could adopt that was ultimately more fulfilling. It was ultimately more fulfilling inside of me to slow down, to get back in touch with spaciousness and silence, and to get back in touch with a few more of those tiny little moments of delight. Just to notice them, just to remember to notice them.
Yeah, and then that's so good for your health and your well-being. It really does help you to de-stress, and you still do. I think I read in your book, didn't I, that you still do 20 days of silent retreat a year? You make a thing?
We did right up until COVID. Of course, COVID, we couldn't do in-person retreats anymore. And last year was actually the first year we were able to do. We did two in-person retreats last year. And I assume we'll do it this year. We haven't signed up yet for it. So,
But it is it's a strategy that works for a lot of people. It's literally taking yourself out of the daily routine. Yeah.
We started going down to Baja in a van and camping on a remote beach.
Ooh, so nice. It wasn't, I like that.
Yeah,
idea.
Really, really lovely. Not exactly like a more formal meditation retreat, which I really love because of the instruction and the guidance and everything like that, but also a place to just de-stress, you know.
And what about your practices then? So your book is Juicy Practices for Getting Present. So if I said to you, what would one of the most important practices be, do you think? What would you say?
I think what I would say, if I had to completely like just come up with that right now or whatever, is I would actually start with, so the book is Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present. And these practices are small. So they're between 2 and 10 minutes long, mostly. There's a couple that are a little bit
Which is
longer.
great, right? I think that's
You know,
fantastic.
yeah. So my way of approaching people is, I know we're all living these busy, that are fulfilling lives in different ways, or we have a lot of responsibility, or whatever it is that we're doing. I get that. So I don't want to. I want to come in to your door by saying, let's just try this tiny little thing, and you just get to try it for yourself and see for yourself what, you know, an experiment. So if I had to say the very simplest one, I would choose two. I would say, there's one that I call 5 seconds of presence. And I like it because it's really hard to argue that you don't have 5 seconds.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody can spare 5 seconds.
Everybody can spare 5 seconds. And it's actually a practice that I learned from Adyashanti, I think, or similar. Anyway, but my way of talking about it is what it is an invitation to do is just for 5 seconds to allow yourself to tune into the felt sense of being. So the felt sense of being immediately brings us to our body. Like we aren't just in our head thinking about something. Suddenly we're a little bit more aware of our body, and just pondering what those words mean is an opening itself, because beingness itself has a vitality. It doesn't require anything else. It doesn't require a thought about it or an understanding about it. And so if we just can remember, oh, that's right. I don't have to be any different than I am right now with all of the problems that I have. I can just dip my toe into that felt sense of being. So that's one that I would invite people to just play with. Just take that term into your day and consider it. And then the other one, so these are like non-meditations. They're not focusing, they're just kind of mindset changes. Like beingness, what? That's nothing. I'm just sitting here. There's nothing here. I'm just whatever. You know, it's like, you know, is that true? What is that? What is that just sitting there? What else is present in the just experiencing yourself here? And then I like to say that the way to start, so this is called Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present, and all of the chapters are a little bit, you know, slightly tongue in cheek, ripping off this metaphor. So one of the first ones is called slipping into a more comfortable state of being. And we can all imagine that moment in the movie when, you know, the couple has come home and whatever, and the woman is going to go slipping, or the man is going to go slip into something more comfortable, you know, and comes out in a barely there, whatever, you know.
A negligee,
So,
which is
and
so silk
negligee.
and beautiful and diaphanous.
Exactly. And feels good on their skin or whatever. So even when we come home from work, we can take 2 minutes, and it doesn't have to linger. It doesn't have to go to something else. We can just think, you know what? I'm just going to lie here on my bed for a minute, or on my comfortable couch, and I'm going to do what Marijke says. I'm just going to kind of take off my, you know, too tight suit, and take off my stiletto heels that are whatever it is, take off my tie that's slightly choking me, and I'm going to just notice how, as I mentally peel off the day, I'm a little bit more open. Just an invitation to lower the shoulders, just to relax. I mean, if I had to sum the entire spiritual path up in one word, it would be relax.
Well, that's a pretty good word, yeah. And you know, just talking about that, it's not quite the same, but I do. I have a friend who's challenging me to do interviews in my PJs, and she says, you know, I should start doing interviews in PJs because it's just the most relaxed thing ever, isn't it? You get into your PJs,
yeah,
at any time of the day, and you're just instantly relaxed.
Exactly, and that is kind of the same in a way. Yeah, so tuning into that felt sense of being, just practicing that, slipping into more comfortable state of being where you're not all wrapped up in the to-do list. And I say just for 2 minutes because your to-do list may really be chomping at your mind's bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not give you a break for longer than 2 minutes, but if you can just practice for just a couple of minutes, it begins to get the hang of it. It begins to be more willing to let down its guard occasionally. And that's what we want. We want to practice what it feels like because we get so caught up in this other way of being that we just simply forget how to do it. You know, we forget how to play, we forget how to relax. So
we forget who we are.
We forget who we are. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's something around authenticity here as well. But
yes.
Playing or getting to that authenticity or that authentic self through being more playful.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other playful ways that we can just, you know, tune into ourselves, relax?
It's really how to be in relationship with yourself. And of course, yeah. At some point in the book, I say, look, we live in this world with other people, and the way that we interact with other people can affect our relationship with ourselves. So it behooves us to pay attention and to practice different aspects of being in relationship with others. But ultimately, this is a journey that is ours to take. And it's everybody gets to craft it to match their own life, their own proclivities, their own way of being. So anything in my book is like a kind of like a suggestion. Try this. Does this work for you? If it doesn't, try something else. You get to be the arbiter of your own happiness, your own peace, your own lack of suffering. But probably the heart of the book is a playful approach to doing this, to going inside, to becoming more authentic. And I call it the inner striptease. So the practices themselves are not necessarily perfectly playful, but the mindset, the attitude is like, oh, okay. Wonder what I'm kind of not willing to look at with myself. You know, we talked before the show about being intimate with life.
Yeah.
But can we even be intimate with ourselves? Mm-hmm. So being intimate with ourselves calls for us to try out different ways of being because we may be stuck in a rut. We may be stuck in a rut of thinking or maybe even certain beliefs or values that we once held dear. Maybe they were even perfect coping mechanisms for whatever we were dealing with, but they might not be working any longer. My invitation is to go on this inner striptease. And I have like these three questions that I boil it down to. It's more than these three questions, but sometimes I like to share them because they're easy to remember. Okay.
Yeah.
So the cornerstone, that kind of the structure of going on an inner striptease, is to come back to the body. Because often we're just caught up in our heads. We don't even really know our body exists, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a question for coming back to the body. And then the second tier of the structure is challenge your mind. Because being stuck in a way of thinking, often I get stuck in sort of a righteous kind of way of thinking. And it feels good to be righteous, but it doesn't actually lead to peace or happiness for me. It actually often leads to more suffering, either with myself or with my interactions with others. So it behooves me to challenge my mind. So come back to the body, challenge your mind. And then the third one has to do with kind of what we just dipped into earlier, which is dare to investigate the nature of being itself. What's going on here, really? Who am I, really? So the first question for coming back to the body is really simple. Let's just say you're all caught up in your thoughts. You have this terrible to-do list that's nagging at you. You've got a deadline, whatever it is. So you maybe, if you're lucky, you become aware that your thinking is just going on and on, and all you're doing is you're stuck in your head. So the first question is, what else is here? And what by that I mean, what else is here other than my thoughts? Because our thoughts are only one phenomena of being human. It's only one of the phenomena that arise. It's just a very powerful one. And we tend to think, I am my thoughts. So what else is here means what else is here other than my thoughts? And it directs me to pay attention to my senses. Go immediately to feeling your feet or your bottom on the chair. Or you could just think of two visual things that draw your attention and two physical, sensual things that draw your attention. Is there a smell in the air? What are you hearing? And the reason is because our senses only exist right here. Our mind can take us into the future, it can take us into the past, but our senses are only right here. Look at your hands. That's a really good one. Just notice your hands. It's like, anyway. So that's the first question.
And a great question it is too. Time for another break right now, though. Never fear, because Marijke will be back with questions two and three right after we've heard these messages from our station sponsors. So stay with us for some great wisdom right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
And of course, you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one award-winning talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and with me still is the fun-loving writer and coach Marijke McCandless, author of Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present. Now, before the break, we were invited to embark on an inner striptease, and Marijke has boiled this down to asking three questions of ourselves. We've heard the first. Now here's Marijke with questions two and three.
So the number two is to challenge your mind. So, and remember, again, we're sort of have decided to adopt, a little bit more playful, a little bit more curious attitude. So let's say you're stuck in a rigid way of thinking that maybe feels good and very right. Feel very sure of it, but maybe you're also suffering. So whatever the position is, and often it's self-negative talk too. The question is, and this is a spiritual question that goes back for thousands of years. The question is that so? Can I absolutely know with 100% certainty that that is so? Byron Katie, her entire practice is built
The
on
work,
investigating
the
the work.
work. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And she takes you on a more granular investigation of your thoughts because it's amazing how much they can change our lives when we shift our thinking.
Yeah, love Byron Katie's work. I think she was a revelation to me when I first discovered her.
Totally. I know. Beautiful work. The work, Thousand Words for Joy. Her work is amazing. I love her. But I just synthesize it down to just introduce the idea, is that so? Who would I be if I didn't have this thought? That's really a powerful question. Like, He should have taken out the trash, damn it. You know, not my job or whatever it is,
Yeah.
you know. Not that I don't actually have that particular thought, but it's kind of a common one. But you know, is that so? You know?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know, I have no idea what that person's day was like. Maybe they're super struggling right now. Maybe they did 20 other things that I haven't even noticed. Maybe they're sick. Who would I be if I didn't have the thought that something should be different from the way it is? Oh, it's such a relief. For just a
Yeah.
second, you experience the relief.
Very, very powerful. When you stop and check in and say, is that really true? And yes, and this then, and again, coming back to the present, knowing that actually the only thing that can be true is what's happening right now in front of, right now.
Yes, exactly.
It's
This
not what if,
moment.
or it's not why not, why didn't they, or what, or will they? It's like,
Yeah.
what's going on right now? That's the only truth. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing we can know for
Yeah.
certain,
Yeah.
whatever is arising right now. And so that so we come back to the body, we challenge our mind, and then the third one goes right to the heart of esoteric spiritual practice. And it's investigating the nature of being itself. And it's because most of the time when we go through life, we sort of carry with us, I think, this kind of basic understanding that we're this skin bag that sort of holds these thoughts and feelings and, which that's what it feels like we are. We feel like we're this body that's kind of boundaried by the skin that, contains the things that we think and how we value life. And so the question is, who am I or what am I really? So, and the way you can really quickly just dive in it all, it doesn't take long. You can spend 5 minutes or less on this. When you do this question, just consider the absolute basic inquiry as to where do I begin and end?
A very good question, isn't it? When you feel into that, can I ask you what you feel or what the answer is that
Well,
comes to you?
yeah. So, the first when I tune into that question, where do I begin and end? I'm floored by my direct experience, right? I know what I think I am, but my direct exp by in my direct experience, I'm not really able to ascertain, where my fingers start and the table that I'm resting them on end. I have an idea, and if I look at it, I think I see a boundary. If I do it for where my where my seat is, I can't ascertain where I start and end as far as other than an idea that I'm sitting. But even more than that, what really blew my mind was that. So I had the basic understanding that I kind of, my skin was the boundary of who I am, but my experience of being is quite different. It's like,
Yeah.
but wait a second, it kind of feels like I extend somehow beyond my body. What is that? And wait a second, how far does that go? Is it like bleeding dye or something? And I'm just like bleeding dye out into the universe. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know where I begin and my end, but without looking too terribly carefully or too terribly long, it feels like I'm something more than a skin bag.
Well, you're definitely more than that, I can tell you. Definitely more than that. And I think these are just beautiful, I think. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. Personally, I think it's really important for us all to just take stock of where we are and as much as possible live in the now. Now, obviously, we make plans, we do these things, you wouldn't get anywhere unless you kind of said, oh, I want to go there. So that's not in the now, but that's where I want to go, right? So okay, we have to do all of that. But being as present as possible whenever, those fleeting moments, just being aware of those and capturing those and understanding that we are actually more. Because, yeah, when you, it's so funny when you just said, you know that you're sitting on a seat, but you don't really feel where that ends. I was thinking exactly the same thing. I went to exactly the same place and thought, I actually feel this almost as if I'm merging with this seat right now.
Right? I know. It's really odd when you actually investigate it with your direct experience.
Absolutely. So it's, and I think it's wonderful and really, I think, important for people to understand that to come back into the now, to come back into the present, we don't need to do any major kind of meditating for hours and on end every day. It is the small things. And I think your book beautifully illustrates that and in a playful way, which is fantastic. Yeah.
And I want to tell people that in a way, kind of meditation or being present often comes across as a battle that we need to be into with our mind or even with our ego. Like, oh, we should hate our mind or we should hate our ego because it's keeping us from being present. But that is also, in my experience, not the way in. We kind of have to soften to however we are in the world. So one of my things that I love to do, one of my identities, I would say, is that I love to plan. I mean, I love planning. I love planning trips. I love the whole process. So I spend, sometimes I spend this time doing it where I'm off in the future, whatever, planning this trip for the family or something like this. And my family would sometimes, say, no, we just want to be spontaneous. We don't want it to be all planned out, everything, whatever. And so I began to worry that, oh my gosh, no, this is a terrible part of me, this planner. I need to get rid of this planner because she's going to keep me from being present because obviously she's just not present when she's planning. But the thing is, I really loved her. I really love how she loves it. And so I can't remember who, some spiritual teacher, probably Sherry Huber, suggested that you at some point you record a love letter to yourself. It's kind of sounds kind of basic, but I ended up writing this love letter to the planner. It's like, I just told her all the things that I love about it, that I appreciate about it, all the fun that I've had with it. And you know what? That was what gave me the ability to not have to be the planner. I could take it or leave it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it was just, it was a wonderful thing. I'm not telling people to get rid of the wonderful things that are part of their life.
No, and being the planner can be a gift. It's all very well wanting to be spontaneous, and I get that, totally get that. But sometimes you just need to plot the course.
And so that you can be there for those moments that arise within the structure.
Exactly. Well, look, I mean, we're coming to the end now. It's been so fantastic. We could talk all day and it would be fantastic to do so. However, we have a limited amount of time and we're coming to the end now. But I have been so happy to speak with you today. I really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for all your insights and your wisdom and your book as well. Again, congratulations on it winning a big prize.
Thank you. And it's won 4 prizes actually.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. It has.
This was just the latest one. Oh.
The latest one was the biggest one. So that's kind of fun.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. So you're obviously doing something right, right? No, seriously. Thank you so much, Marijke. It's been beautiful speaking with you today, and hopefully people will have really found something in your words of wisdom there that'll help them in their lives. So thank you
so much. I loved being here, JJ. That's wonderful.
The lovely Marijke McCandless there, and her website is MarijkeMcCandless.com. Now, I'll spell her name for you because her first name, Marijke, is maybe not as you'd expect. It's M for mother, A-R-I-J-K-E. That's Marijke. And her second name is McCandless. M small c, if you were writing it normally, capital C-A-N-D-L-E-S-S. So that's MarijkeMcCandless.com. Marijke doesn't just write books, of course. She also leads a popular online writing practice called Write Now Mind. And she offers immersion experience play shops in meditation, writing, and enlivenment. So if that appeals to you, do go to her website to find out more. And of course, do go and buy the book. And that just about brings us to the end of this show. For now, you can find out all about me at thepracticalalchemist.uk. Links to everything that I'm up to can be found there, including all the links to my socials and, of course, my YouTube channel. I've been a bit quiet in it all lately because I'm working on some exciting new things, which hopefully I'll be able to bring to you very soon. The one thing I can talk about right now is tiktokophobia.com. That's tik-tokophobia.com. What's that, you may ask? Well, that's a website created by me and Alexia Leachman, who is the world's foremost tokophobia expert. And tokophobia is commonly defined as a deep fear of pregnancy and childbirth, but it's so much more than that. I can testify to that. It's a major anxiety disorder, and Alexia and I have both had it. And we talk about our different experiences on our podcast, Tik-Tokophobia. That's TIK-TOKO-phobia. And that pretty much wraps up today's show. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Love you all. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy, because that's what we've been doing. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.